Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
What's going on?
I want to start a startup.
We're going to start like a new podcast in a podcast.
Yeah, well, I want to start a tech company. You know anything about that?
I don't really recommend it.
I don't either. And we're going to talk all about that. Now, before we get started, because this is episode one of a very interesting undertaking. So Matt, for the longest time, we have talked about doing a series about how to start a tech company. And here we are. 52 part, dude. 5-2 once a week. Are you going to be able to handle it?
I'm ready.
Okay, so as we kind of get into the whole everything that we're going to do, and once again, this is a weekly series. It's all going to be related. It's going to be you and me, buddy. We're back.
Woohoo!
Now, there's so much that goes into starting any business, and all businesses are different, but a lot of it is the same. However, starting a tech company, there's a lot of things that I think that I would like to warn people about, make sure that people understand, and a whole lot of other things that I plan on getting into. When it comes to just the overall general statement of the how to start a tech company series, I mean, what do you want to accomplish? Like, what do you feel like you need to share, warn, or do for anybody that's going to listen?
Well, I think it's cool to give everybody the kind of unfiltered advice about all the different things. And, you know, from our first topic today about why do you want to start a startup? And there's some really bad reasons and there's some really good reasons, and excited to share all that with people.
And before we get into the bullets of that, why, you know, you've started two tech companies, you've been involved in several, we own a couple together. Why did you want to start a startup, Matt?
You know, the first time it was not really a startup. It was basically like an accidental business. Like, I'm just trying to work with some customers and a guy and solve a problem and get paid for it. And it just grew from there. Right. And that's kind of how Fullscale started a little bit. Right. It's like, oh, we got some customers lined up. We got a problem. We can solve it. Let's go do it. You know, Stackify was the same way for me. It's like, I had my own problem I wanted to solve. Like, I understood the problem, but it was a much bigger undertaking and a lot more risk involved. Took a lot of capital, which is kind of a different kind of startup.
Yeah. And you talk about the accidental business. A lot of people do start a business accidentally. My first quote, real business was more or less an accidental business. But that is a why for a lot of the reasons of why people start a business. And we're going to get into a whole lot of different reasons. And we're also going to include, so our community and the Startup Hustle chat, and I want to encourage anybody listening to go to Facebook, super easy to find us. Just type in Startup Hustle in the little search box and you'll find us. We have a rapidly growing community of entrepreneurs, founders, and people that love business that are in there talking. Now, they don't know this, but I have secretly been crowdsourcing material from them by asking. So part of what we're going to talk about in this episode, and Matt, you know, before we get too far into this, if you do want to start a tech company, you and I own a business that can help people do that. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. If you do decide to start a tech company, you're going to rapidly find that there is a massive shortage of programmers here in the US and a lot of other places. And, you know, that's how we accidentally started our business. We were trying to solve a problem within a different business and realized that everybody has the exact same problem. So we go to fullscale.io. We'll help you find programmers. I'll tell you what, we're pretty good at it. We have a couple hundred employees worldwide. We can help you get what you need. And we'll also talk to you about some of the stuff that we'll talk about in the series, which is how to be successful. But part of being successful means avoiding pitfalls, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and by the way, for those of you that might just be figuring out who we are or listening, look up Matt Watson. He knows a lot about starting tech companies. He doesn't always like to tell you that, but he's pretty much the guy. So I learn a whole lot. I'm looking forward to learning a lot from you. So let's talk about some of the basic reasons that what are the reasons why? You know, so you say, why do you want to start one? So I did some research. Our team did some research. With Startup Hustle TV, our new web series about entrepreneurship, we promise to be transparent. So I'm being really, really transparent. We don't do the hard work. We just talk about the hard work other people do. But okay, so some of the reasons why, and I think probably one of the most common ones is that people see an opportunity.
And that's also probably one of the biggest pitfalls.
That seeing an opportunity and not understanding anything about it. Like,
yeah,
I see an opportunity, so I should chase it.
Yeah. That how to execute it, what it's going to take to execute it. Don't really understand the industry vertical that you're going into, but you're like, oh, maybe I can solve that. You know, it's like, for example, we had a guest on that had made improved like carburetors and stuff for motorcycles. Right. And so it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But then it's like, nobody in the United States uses motorcycles. So, okay, where's the opportunity, right? And he found an opportunity. He's been successful. But, you know, just because there's an opportunity to solve a problem, like that is an example. It's okay, yeah, you can do that. But who's going to buy it? What's your go-to-market strategy? How much capital do you need to do it? Do you have the right team? Do you have the expertise? Like, there's 100 other things to think through than just beyond saying, oh, yeah, I can solve that. And so many people start with like, oh, I can solve that and literally go no further. They just talk about how they could solve it and never go past that.
On some level, though, talking about it is what you should be doing early, because you say just because you see an opportunity doesn't mean you chase it. Yeah. And you know, you and I, and we business partners, podcast hosts, you know, I was the best man in your wedding. I'd say we know each other kind of well. And we've had this discussion outside of the podcast a lot. And we're referring to entrepreneurial ADD. Just because you see a shiny thing doesn't mean you should be paying attention to it and chasing it. As 2021 arrives and I will turn another year in the calendar, giving me officially and statistically more age and wisdom than you, Matt. One of the things that I've really learned is you've got to be careful about just chasing opportunity for the sake of doing it. Cause you, Matt, let's tell everyone about the backpack.
Well, that's a metaphor I use a lot. And basically, really, I use this metaphor more about like it's Stackify, right? It's okay, we can build this new product or this new feature,
But every time we build a new feature, it's something else we have to put in our backpack and carry around with us. Like, if we forever have to support this thing, our customers are going to have problems with it. We have to maintain it. We have to continue to improve it, support it, all these things. And there's only so many things you can carry up the mountain in your backpack. And the more shit you want to do, it's the more stuff you got to carry around, and it just weighs you down.
You know, in Congress with the backpack, there's something that you've heard me say quite a bit. And for those of you that have quoted me online, you seem to choose this one a lot. You know, what's easier, climbing the mountain yourself or asking those on top to pull you up?
Yep.
And you know, so drop the backpack. And if you have an opportunity, I think the best advice I can give is go find someone that may have done something similar or even anywhere near that, and go ask them what it's like to do it. And that's part of, you know, how you and I got to know each other, is just talking about opportunity, talking about our history, talking about a lot of different things, interviewing you for my book, Million Dollar Bedroom. And, there's a lot of different things out there. All right. So moving on from that, another reason that many start a startup is they have an idea that solves a problem or delivers value. Now, that's kind of a subcategory of opportunity. You may have already identified an opportunity there. But Matt, what is value? Like, what does a business need to do or should it do before it actually says, okay, it's a business?
Well, here's the problem, right? Is you get somebody that, let's say they love TikTok and they use it, and they're like, oh, but it should have this feature. So I'm going to go create my own version of TikTok that is different. And the only difference is it has this one feature. And then you ask the question, like, who pays for that shit? How are you going to make any money? Like, are you really delivering value that somebody is going to pay for? And in general, this is why I'm not really a fan of consumer-based things, because consumers don't pay for anything. I'd much rather solve a problem that a business will pay for, because businesses have money and they pay for things. And that whole delivering value part of it, I think, is really critical. And people really struggle with consumer-based things on if they're going to be ad-supported or how to get people to pay for it. There's a lot of startups in Kansas City have been through this, and most all of them always fail because they can never figure out the right business model of just working with consumers.
Now, here in a few episodes, we're going to get in depth as to why startups fail. And they do more than they don't.
Oh, yeah.
So when it comes to your opportunity and your problem and whatever, just realistically, the numbers are not in your favor. So
people have to want to pay you to solve that problem or for that value. Like, there's got to be an ROI to it. That's the key.
And value comes in a lot of shapes and forms. Really, when it comes to, Matt, you mentioned your preference for B2B. If you're so business to business, if you have a B2B solution, it better help them sell more or spend less. Because if it doesn't do one of those two and the benefits of it aren't really clear, you are going to have a very, very difficult time selling it, getting people to understand it, or get anyone else to do it. Now, the next item on the list reminds me of Russ Lindmark and Verisship. You worked for Russ, and Verisship, which, by the way, congratulations, Russ, because dude, that company got big. I mean, it really did, and it's done really, really well. But that business was created you were a part of that, right? Didn't you create you were creating some kind of value or efficiency in your own business, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, wow, this could bring and deliver value.
Let me tell that story for a second. So Russ's company was called Ticket Solutions, and they sell, concert and sports tickets online. You go to ticketsolutions.com. They're based in Kansas City. And I worked there back in like 2001 and 2002. And as you can imagine, as a ticket broker, they send a lot of tickets via FedEx and UPS. And you know what FedEx and UPS does all the time? They don't deliver them on time. And that's really critical for concert tickets and stuff, right? Because you don't get them on time, the tickets are useless. So they would send like hundreds of packages a month, and they had this great idea of auditing all of them to figure out if they were being delivered on time. And if they weren't, you could get a refund or a credit back from FedEx or UPS. And that idea is what eventually turned into being Bearership, which ended up being a bigger business than Ticket Solutions was itself. And Ticket Solutions, you know, business has, I think, kind of been on the decline over the last 20 years because of online's, you know, all the reasons. And Bearership was hugely successful.
So I was in the ticket business for 8 years. That was the first business I started. And that's actually how you and I got to be friends, because we were talking about it. Like, we had actually made a comment about something else, and I mentioned something about tickets, and we started talking about being a ticket broker. So you were correct with the benefit on that product, but there was one other thing. So the real, and we had Russ on the show, because that was the look, look in our feed. It's early too. It's like in the first 100 episodes somewhere. He is a super entrepreneur. And, so you were the, if FedEx, so a lot of times you'll have a 2-day delivery, but it'll come on the third day, which whether you know this or not, as a FedEx or a UPS customer, they have to give you your money back because they didn't deliver, literally didn't deliver. So what had, and I remember Russ talking about this because they were just doing general auditing. And I remember what a pain in the butt that is, because you'll send out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things. And they realized they had hired basically a bookkeeper to kind of look at it. And he, and they said, well, 20% of these didn't even arrive on time. And he, and because it was such a big number, he said, oh my God, that's a lot of money that that we need to get refunded or discounted or something. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, well, okay. So they built it, and it did great things. And that, on some levels, that's what we did with Gigabook, because Gigabook was originally built in our ticket company. We were using it to let people know. Well, we used it for marketing calendars, a whole lot of different stuff. So you never know how things are going to get started.
Well, and Ticket Solutions actually had a whole nother company they built in-house as another example. They built their own, and I helped build this, their own point of sale system and websites for ticket brokers that kept track of their inventory and customers. And they built it for their own needs, and then realized that other people in the industry wanted it. So, you know, as we talk about building something and then kind of spinning it out, which is kind of the category we're talking about, it's another a good example of that. Another good example of that is, say, Sprint here in town, which is now T-Mobile. You know, they collect all this data about cell phones and their usage and locations and all that. And they figured out, hey, that could be its own data company that's used for advertising and marketing. And that got spun out into a different company here in Kansas City. And a lot of times these are the best kind of startups, ones that start in a larger company, they're building something industry specific, and they're able to carve that out of their primary business into its own business. But that's not usually, that's usually the entrepreneur that owns that original business. It's not really, it's like a startup within a startup. It's not the first startup, you know?
I think the reason that, you know, you mentioned that those are sometimes easier, well, it's because they don't require, they don't often in the very earliest stages, they don't require a separate set of resources and capital. And they're just kind of born within the, you know, like we built some, Gigabook was birthed from my ticket company. Cause, and on some of that, it was just existing to be built, because in tickets, it's so seasonal. So there's like these really, like, you'll have 2 months where you're just like, you won't do anything but that business. And then the next 2 months might be wishing that those prior 2 months were back. So, you know, so it's sometimes about keeping people busy or doing different things, but building tools that matter. And like I said, the no need to a startup inside of another business. And we see that a lot. That's really common. I'm seeing more and more of that with a lot of bigger companies. And we experienced a lot of that here in Kansas City with the way that LaunchKC, and go to launchkc.org and check out what Kansas City is doing with business accelerators. So they were giving away $50,000 grants to like a dozen companies a year. And you know, and that was great, but they pivoted a little bit because a lot of corporate partners, like recently we did BCP Tech, which is actually where we buy our insurance from. And it's a huge insurance company. And they made small investments into 7 different insurance tech companies. So they were, because they wanted some of, they want to use the solutions, maybe have a vested interest in it moving forward. And so there's a, and while that's not that true startup and a startup thing, it is still, it's similar.
Yep.
And, you know, now the next thing I got on the list, I feel like this is very in alignment with you. Now, I'll give you some free advertising. Go to Stackify.com. And that's Matt's current company, which, by the way, is an Inc. 500 company and does amazing stuff that's also amazingly complex. It's application performance management. Once again, Stackify.com. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can check it out. Matt, you are an industry expert already in the software industry because of your first company, Venn Solutions. But often people start a business because they're an industry expert and they want to create their own thing. Now, that isn't exactly the reason, but you were clearly an industry expert after exiting Venn Solutions. But I think you were just bored.
I wasn't an industry expert at what Stackify does, though. I was an industry expert in automotive, and it would have made more sense, and I probably would have been smarter to start a software company in automotive. And I think there's two parts to this. It's an industry expert, and it could be your knowledge that can go help build something, or it really could be your connections. And so another great example of this, somebody I know here in Kansas City worked at a construction company, was very well connected, knew lots of people in town. So he left there and started his own painting company. And he's really successful because of all the connections he had, you know? And so being an industry expert could be just the connections you have and knowing people to go start a business that isn't necessarily a startup, but, you know, it's your connections are super valuable.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on your industry expertise, because you were an expert as a developer. Now, Matt, Matt's humble and doesn't always talk about this kind of stuff, but Matt's original company, Venn Solutions, which, by the way, they sold for $150 million. So that was validated at that point. But, you know, you guys were doing some really, really cutting edge stuff at the time when it came to cloud computing and you really create a lot of efficiency for different businesses. You did a lot of stuff that was ahead of its curve. And along the way, now I did the same thing at my own company on the way to Gigabook. We were doing things 10 years ago that aren't high technology now, but like you look back at it, there was no one doing these things, but it created that expertise. And in your case, the expertise was, in my opinion, understanding what other people like you really needed.
Sure. Yeah. And that's true.
While we're here, what does Stackify do?
Our product is used by software developers to help improve the performance of their applications. So we help them observe how their applications are performing, how to improve it, how to monitor that, how to prevent issues, fix issues.
So it's fair to say that anybody listening that wants to start a tech company should probably go to Stackify.com and check out what's up, right?
We can help.
And don't you even have a free product, don't you?
We do. Yeah, we do.
By the way, it's code that checks code. If you don't know that stuff, that's how people ask me all the time. Like, what does Stackify do? Nerdy stuff. It's code that checks code. But look, that's important at an early stage business. And we'll talk about that a little further down the road. You know, like that's a tool that tries to help you find problems that you might not identify on your own for whatever reason, which is important. Which is important because, you know, what you don't know is in the early stages is often killer. So, yeah. Okay. Next on the list, Matt.
So the next we have, you think you have a better solution than the existing solution. And in some ways that's what Venn Solutions was. Like we created a CRM system for car dealers, and CRM systems had already existed for car dealers, but they weren't very good at internet leads. They weren't very good at like sending emails. And like the first versions of those, if you sent email, you had to literally type HTML, like to be able to send HTML. Like they were that archaic, and they were server-based, like they weren't web-based, that, you know. And so we had a better solution, but there's a huge flaw with this idea that you have a better solution. Your idea and your solution better be 10 times better. If it's like a little bit better, ain't nobody give a shit. Like if you came to me and said, Matt, I got a better solution than QuickBooks, I'd be like, QuickBooks isn't broken. Well, I could save you money. I pay $70 a month for it. How much are you really going to save? Like you better have a really better solution. And that is the challenge. People get hung up on like, well, I made a better mousetrap. Like, who cares? It better be a lot better.
I think that this reason why is dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
For the reasons that you're mentioning. And because of my role, so I talk to a lot of people at Full Scale. So once again, our company Full Scale, Matt and I own it together. You know, we work with dozens of tech companies. We help them build tech teams for their tech companies. So over the last 3 years, I've talked to a hell of a lot of people about a hell of a lot of things. We've done it ourselves. We've helped other people do it. But I tell people all the time, and then they're in the early stage, exact same thing that you said. Like, be careful, because but Matt, your solution for QuickBooks, but Matt, Mike's solution for QuickBooks, it's half the price. I still wouldn't care, because the effort that it would take for me to get it from A to B, and also I got other shit to do. $35 a month is not my problem.
I have other legitimate problems. So unless you can solve my number one problem, you're wasting my time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I mentioned earlier in the episode that I was secretly crowdsourcing info. I asked the Startup Hustle chat on Facebook why people start startups. And I want to talk about some of what our listeners had to say, because that's a group full of people that know a lot of stuff, man. There are a lot of people in there talking about these things that are giving some very, very, very informed responses. And I let's share a few of them. So I think this is a good one. I think this is a reason that this reason has a plus and a minus column. So yeah, we had the comment, I want freedom. Be very, very careful starting a business because you think it's going to give you freedom. It might at some point, but it depends on how you define freedom, because I'll tell you what, I very much feel chained to my business or my startups or have in the past. I didn't feel like I had freedom. Now, technically I could have just gone and done whatever I wanted, wherever I wanted, with whoever I wanted, for however long that I wanted, but that wouldn't have lasted too long. So what do you feel about starting your business for freedom? I mean, do you think I have some good points there, or do you disagree?
But if you want to take off the rest of the afternoon, you could do it.
True.
Right? And, you know, I think for some people, I would say this also aligns with people that kind of want a lifestyle business. It's like, oh, I only work part-time, or I work when I want to work. It's not necessarily a big business. It's like the guy with the painting company. He's like, oh, I got 12 people that paint for me. I take a couple calls a day. I sell a couple new accounts. I do some invoicing. The rest of the time, I just hang out. I do whatever I want. I mean, it could be kind of a lifestyle business and you have a lot of freedom, right? But it's not necessarily going to become like some giant company either, but that's okay. And, you know, I think some people really value that freedom. And you could say like Uber drivers have this, right? Like they can drive whenever they want, or they cannot drive. They have that freedom. So,
you know, as a business owner, you talk about freedom. It lets you also do what you want within your own business. Like, let's say, for example, you wanted to start your own TV show. Oh, we did that. Wait, shit, we did that. If you're listening, you got to come check out Startup Hustle TV. Now, the reason I bring that up is, well, first off, we're launching a web series. First episode is February 1st of 2021. Because we learned with this podcast that we were able to really share the real story of entrepreneurship. We wanted to take that to another level. Now, our stories are somewhat interesting, but through this podcast, which we have over 500 episodes of now, we've met a hell of a lot of interesting people that are doing some really amazing things, and they want to share those stories. So we're going to be doing that. But part of it, and you went through your interview. So we do these formal interviews with entrepreneurs, and then we also get them to cover their actual, like, kind of a video journal of what their life is like. But we've asked every single cast member, and by the time this is said and done, that'll be a really long list. Like, why did you start your business? And a lot of them, you will see a lot of them saying, I wanted freedom, right? I wanted the ability to have control. And, you know, that's another one that is on the list is like, well, I wanted to have, like, you know, so still within a comment from Startup Hustle Chat is, well, money and control, you know, or maybe control of my own money. I want to have control of my own destiny. I will tell you, Matt, for me, that's a big part of it. I don't know if I could do anything else. I've always felt like I needed to own my own business to be an entrepreneur. The business can control you sometimes, but I've had good times. I've had bad times. I will say that part, that freedom and control part, is when you get it right, it's satisfying.
It sucks having a boss. Like that's a whole different world. So that's part of it too.
Are you you're my boss, right?
No, your wife is.
True. Actually, I'm gonna say that's not true. I work for a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. We both do. Jill and I are co-workers, and our bosses are named Dylan and Caden. And dude, they're fucking demanding, man.
I've got 4 of them. Yeah. I have 2.
Have you met my kids?
Oh yeah. They're your clones.
Dude, my daughter, she is an entrepreneur. She, and by the way, if you want to see her version of the Startup Hustle promo, did you see that?
Yeah.
She'll tell you she's an entrepreneur. Her lemonade stand kicks ass. All right. Another reason we got from that our chat, the Startup Hustle chat folks had put it in here, was boredom. Did that have something to do with Stackify being born?
No, I don't think so. But, you know, I think it had something to do with Vin Solutions being born, because I think this is how people get side hustles, right? Like they've got a primary job, but they're looking for something else to do. And sometimes that something else to do turns into the primary thing.
Yeah. And you know, now, when we recorded episode 500, I mentioned that Lyril Holt was one of my more memorable episodes. And if you ask Lyril like what he does, he'll be like, I'm just a guy looking for something to do.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, on some days I am too, you know, like you've said that to me before. You're like, after you sold, now the reason I ask is because, you know, you sold exited Vent Solutions and you're 29. You're like, what am I going to do? Like, what do I do? Am I just going to sit around? Because you get, people like us get stir crazy in a hurry, and, you know, but be careful what you're asking for, folks, because you might get it. Okay. Another comment. And I think this is a big one. It's just passion. And this is a right reason to start a business, or at least it's a right element to start it. Because if you're passionate about what you're doing, whether it be the industry, the solution, maybe the people maybe the clients or users that you serve, in my opinion, that's a critical component of success. Because I think if you lack passion, then you're going to quit.
Yeah, I think you definitely have to have passion. I think it can be dangerous too, though, because you could be so passionate about something that's never going to be successful, and you pour all of your energy into it. Like you and I both could probably name 5 people in Kansas City that have done this, and some of them are still working on this thing that is never going to go anywhere.
It's blinding.
Yeah. So you need it, but it can also be dangerous.
So speaking of passion, check out some of the episodes that Lauren Conaway does, because this is a different type of business and startup that she's got, because she's the founder of Innovator. And Lauren is one of the most passionate people I've ever met about what she does, but she's a servant leader. And that's the true definition of what she does. But it's her passion that drives what she's doing and has gotten just under 4,000 women to join that organization already. So, but without that passion, that would be a difficult thing to do. The people that you need to get excited about your startup are going to know if you're passionate about it or not. You can't fake it and you can't hide it. Now, speaking of passion, there's a thrill and an energy to it that people describe me as passionate a lot, but we had that mentioned, so the thrill of it. So Brad Kellmeyer had commented in the Startup Hustle chat, the rush of conceptualizing and monetizing an idea. I find that exciting too.
I think that is true. I think it's definitely fun. There's a lot of different kinds of businesses, right? So it depends on the type of business that you're starting. But definitely if you're you're trying to very quickly figure out some really kind of unique idea and try and do market testing, figure out if this thing has legs, is it could be a really big idea. I mean, all that can be extremely frustrating, but it can also be a big thrill and a lot of fun.
I've always said I like the front and the back side of the business, like starting it or closing it. It's the middle parts. Then, you know, one of our past guests, Neil Sharma, often talks about what is it, the brain drain? So be careful, because that the middle part of the business sometimes sucks that passion out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Now, we had a bunch of people comment that said to solve a problem. And let me give you a couple of those. So Kyle Steppy of KC Hemp Co. said to solve a problem that they've encountered. Cornell Ellis said to fill a need and close a gap. Tyler LeCompte, I think that's how you say that. Seven magic words, there's got to be a better way. And then, man, I'm really going to mess this one up. Omo Labake Tamaba. To improve a business process, cost, or unnecessary bottleneck. Solving problems, right?
Yep.
If you caught me at the right moment and you asked me what I do, I might just say I solve problems, because that is what a founder or an entrepreneur has to do. If you're not good at solving problems, please do not start a startup. All right. Next, the next one was, this was my, I answered my own question.
Yeah.
Why do people start businesses? And I'm unemployable. You are too, dude.
I think
you are completely, you and me, God forbid we ever have to get jobs, because we are completely unemployable. Now, Gina Danner had made the comment, many entrepreneurs can't function successfully in a typical organization. Sound familiar?
Yep. Yep.
By the way, Matt tried to hire me once and my rate was one Bitcoin per month.
You screwed up.
Was that a real offer? I don't think it was at the time. Or was that when Bitcoin was like 3,000? Because it's pretty expensive. All right. Now, the next comment that came is from someone that I really got to know in 2020. It's someone I really respect and admire. And that's John Bucard. John's the founder of Tesseract. He's an inventor. He's done a ton of stuff. They do some really amazing stuff. He said human progress. It's a real thing, man. There's a lot of people that are just trying to advance stuff, that are just trying to make life generally better. There was a couple sub comments I have under that, but that was John's comment. So Catherine Hogan said, for me, it's all about the what if. And what if we had a better solution? What if we started a business? Hey, Matt, what if we started a TV show? Don't ever start your own TV show, dude. All right, next in that, still in this category, because the potential upsides outweigh the negatives. That came from Andrew Ryan. Andrew's a startup founder outside of our hometown. So, you know, that's a risk versus reward analysis that you should be doing anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then one more. Apparently, it's to feel discomfort, unsureness, stress, and excitement all at the same time.
That pretty much sums it up.
Thank you, Kara Joy, for that comment. Once again, if you want to get your comment in for future episodes, come join us and start a Puzzle Chat. And then another one from John, which I almost kind of feel is maybe okay, to make lifelong friends. I don't do now. I'm going to challenge John a little bit. So, well, he said the camaraderie and seeking out others of the same mindset. I buy that, but I don't do anything in business to make friends. Do you?
No. Nope.
I mean, that's different. That's a club. That's not a business. And I think you got to be careful with that part of it. But I like the camaraderie part of it, because if you are thinking about starting a tech company, you really should be trying to find other people to do it with, because, you know, 15 years, and we're going to have a whole episode about co-founders and stuff like that, but Yeah, 15 years ago, I wasn't a business partner, co-founder kind of guy. I'm 180 degrees the other direction on that, without a doubt. All right, so we have one more comment on this. Someone said, "Why do you want to start a startup? To become a guest on the Startup Hustle podcast."
Thank you, Eric Juarez.
Yeah, that is definitely the best comment, other than the one I made, of course. So, you know, Matt, we talked about a lot of reasons that people do it. I think that this wouldn't be very complete or useful if we didn't talk about a couple why nots. You feeling me on that?
Absolutely. These are the most important.
What do you got?
You hate your job.
That's not a reason. So that, because I hate my job, I shouldn't just go create one for myself.
Well, I mean, and sometimes I'd say this might lead to people who become freelancers. Probably a lot of freelancers happen this way, right? They work for some company and they've had enough. And so they go off and start their own, you know, that's not necessarily a startup, right? But it's their own business, and become freelancers. That may work out, but it's not necessarily the great reason to like quit your job and then think you're going to go raise a bunch of capital and have some startup. That's probably not a good idea.
I think that there's a higher reason over that people need to think about, and that's intent. Like, your intent needs to be pure on many levels. Like, and just because you dislike your job, like that doesn't have and hold the required amount of intentionality that most good businesses have prior to getting started. You know, it's like, if your intent is just because you hate your job, then get another job if that's the case.
Yep.
Hey, but Matt, what if I hate my boss? I hate my fucking boss. Wait, that's me.
I mean, that's pretty much the same thing. Hating your job or hating your boss are pretty much all the same.
I'm screwed, dude, because I hate my boss, which means I hate myself, which means that I can't start a business and I'm also unemployable.
I don't know what to say.
I accept your offer. I will come work for one Bitcoin per month.
You can sleep in my pool house if you need a place to crash.
I want the bit, dude. No, because the Bitcoin's worth about 40 grand a month all of a sudden. So I'll take it. I'm in. But you know, dude, I'm in it for the money.
That has got to be the worst reason ever to start a startup, because like 95% of them fail.
I'm going to be real with everyone listening. If this is the reason that you start your business, you're probably going to fail, because that's not passion. Being in it for the money is not, it's back to that intention. That's not the right reason to do it. If you're passionate, you create value, you do something that's amazing that people want, that they need, you create peace of mind, you help people sell more, you help people spend less, and you do it well, then money will follow. I think money is the byproduct of everything I just mentioned. And I have had so many people ask me over the last however many years, how do I make more money? And I tell them every time, you got to quit focusing on money. And so many of them look at me like a dog that just saw a card trick. They're like, huh? But wait, if you want to make money, you got to get good at something. The people I know that have made and have money, they're good at something. They are usually really good at something. And it all starts there. If you're not going to be a master at what you do, if you're not going to be the best in the industry, blah, 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 money ain't coming, but the money will come if you get really, really good at it. Now, Matt, you know what? Forget about money. I want to start my business because, you know what, dude, I want less work.
Yeah, I think this only works for the idea of like being a freelancer or working for Uber or something like that, not really owning a business that has multiple employees and stuff like that. You're just gonna have more work to do, more headaches.
Those aren't startups, you know. Like,
yeah.
Hey, folks, startups don't come with owner's manuals, and that makes them hard. That makes it really hard. And they really don't. You have to figure out how to do anything and everything at least once. A whole lot of stuff you don't know how to do, It's stressful. If you starting a business is going to be a hell of a lot more work than anything else you've ever done. So that is a really, really, really bad idea. But you know, Matt, I mean, with that, I think it'd be easier than having a job.
I think it's kind of related. I mean, only if you're like a freelance or something, not if you're really running a business. It's way more difficult, way, way more difficult.
Well, what, dude, but you know what? All right. Forget those other ideas. I want to be famous, man. I want to be a rock star. I want notoriety, status. I want to be Elon.
See, for me, the money and the fame just kind of naturally happen. If that's what you start out trying to get, it's not going to happen. Those are sort of part of the scorecard and just what happens from doing a good job that eventually those things happen. You know, I mean, I would say at some point in time, I was probably somewhat famous in the automotive industry. Everybody knew who I was. I wouldn't say I was famous, but you know, in that industry, everybody would have known who I was. Nobody would have known me at the grocery store.
You're not famous until someone sends in fan art, Matt. We've already established that. If you are interested in creating fan art of Matt Watson, send it on in. We want to see it. But no, so Matt, I, you know, as you're aware, I worked in the music industry for a number of years. I know quite a few famous people in the music business. None of them wanted to be famous. That wasn't their goal. They actually, back to that whole becoming masters, they're actually just really, usually really, really good at what they do. Now, that isn't always a great example because there are people that have succeeded that, well, yeah, I wanted to be famous. But really overall, if that's the true intent, you're going to have issues. Well, okay, Matt, go ahead.
Hold on. If all you want is to be famous, you should be focusing on how to be TikTok famous.
You know, you can find Startup Hustle on TikTok. We have an account. And while you're there, I mean, since you're looking, we're on Instagram, the Facebooks, the Twitters, everywhere. But really what I'd like, if you're listening, I'd like you to head over to YouTube and check out Startup Hustle TV. Now, you've done a lot of things on the internet. So if you're interested in starting a tech company, I really want you to consider reaching out and talking to us at fullscale.io. So many of the things that we've been through, we created that entire business to solve a problem,
yep,
to create value. And honestly, there were so many things that you've built software bigger and better than I had. I've done a lot of things, but we created that whole entire business to solve a problem that not only we had at our business, but we realized that so many other startup founders, much like ourselves, had the exact same problem. So we started with that, but then as we built the business, people said, "Well, how did you guys get to where you're at with Full Scale?" I said, "We talked to all of our peers, friends, and everybody, and we said, what do you not like about hiring developers?" And then we did the opposite.
Yep.
That was it. It was really it. We talk about increasing communication, putting you in control of your project. Like your tech company, if you don't have a direct, transparent line of sight to the people that are building your technology, I think it would be fair to say, not only do you not have any control over it, you might not own it. Like you need, if the people that are building what you're passionate about are not in your direct line of sight and you don't have access to them because you're just talking to a project manager at some other company, we do the opposite. We put you in full control of your team. We get the hell out of the way. Call us if you need help. We say what we do is rare. We specialize in recruiting, assessing, retaining, and employing, right? And we take care of all of that. And then your team's your team. And you can focus on doing other stuff. And that's really important. So, Matt, I got one final reason here. You know, someone asked me, "You want to start a business?" So I just thought, why not? I mean, people never ask me to start a business. That's not true. But is that why I should start a business? Because someone asked me to?
I mean, that could be the perfect reason if they're going to give you a bunch of customers or money, right? You're like, "Hey, I need somebody to mow my lawn. Please go start a lawn mowing company and I'll pay you to do it." That would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I got one more. one more reason why not. And that's because you think you're going to make money doing it anytime soon.
That's for damn sure.
Now, you know, we talk about transparency. So how much did you pay yourself in the first several years that you worked at Stackify?
Zero. For the first like 7 or 8 years.
While I do actually get paid to work for Full Scale now, I didn't get paid at Full Scale for half of the life of the company.
And Vin Solutions was the same way. I didn't make any money at all for the first couple years. And then I made basically like 2/3 of what my salary would have been if I just got a basic job for another couple
years. So you're not going to make more money doing it right away. And maybe not for a while, because that can be an obstacle.
That's where you get the saying of paying steak and eating hot dogs. You got to hire a bunch of people and pay them well, and they get to eat steak, but you're going to be eating hot dogs for a long time. Get ready.
Or ramen.
Hey, I like ramen noodles, dude. I had ramen noodles for lunch today. Don't knock ramen noodles.
Not the kind I'm talking about, brother. Like the 10-cent package, the 10 for a dollars.
That's top what ramen. I had for lunch.
It's probably because you're a startup founder, Matt, and true. You know, you're on the budget. You're on the budget. So as we arrive at the end of this episode, and look, come check out Startup Hustle TV, because we're going to be talking about a lot of this stuff. We're going to get a whole lot of people involved in showing you exactly, and I mean exactly, what the ins and outs of entrepreneurship are like, what it's about. You know, look, we are putting a lot of really transparent, interesting, and in my opinion, valuable information out there. And come find us. We're all over the internet. You know, like, you know, a lot of good stuff and we won't publish it if it sucks. That's our brand standard, by the way. We want to find people that are going to tell you the truth. And I mean the real truth. The fact that this shit is not easy. Final comment on that. If you think any of this is going to be easy, then don't start the company. So, Matt, out of this list, we talk about a lot of stuff. Like, what are your top ideas here? Like, what are the things that really resonated for you on the whys that are good reasons why?
Yeah, I mean, the wrong reasons definitely stick out, right? Like, you don't like your job, you're in it for the money. Like, those are all the wrong reasons. Really, you got to be focused on solving a problem. And really, this usually works the best if you're an expert at something, you work in a specific industry. So for example, I worked in a medical lab, and we created some software for medical labs. 99% of the world would have no idea how any of that crap works. If you have industry experience that nobody else knows, that you can go and apply and build something and then sell in the industry, that's the best place to be. But you've got to have some expertise that's really valuable to solve a real problem that somebody will pay for.
I can't tell you I have a different opinion about what stands out. For me, the good reasons why include passion. They include value. They include solving a problem. Because if you don't have at least two of the three things that I just mentioned, you're in big trouble. You know, business school will teach you that you have to do it better, faster, or cheaper. You have to be like an A grade and 2 out of 3 of those things, or you're screwed. Doing only 1 out of those 3 things is not enough. Like you mentioned, Matt, like you might be able to do it better, but can you do it faster or cheaper? Because if you don't get 2 out of 3, yep. Now you can survive a 2 out of 3. Ideally, you want 3 out of 3, but those are back to value. That's value. It's better, faster, or cheaper. There's a value in all of that. And really, in the end, I think that the final advice that I'd really like to give related to this, if you are looking for thinking about starting a tech company, is you got to know what you're getting yourself into. Like really, really, really vet it. Like look at it. I mentioned earlier, what's easier, climbing the mountain on your own or asking those on top to pull you up?
Find some mentors.
You should be looking up and yelling, "Hey, can I get a hand?" Yeah. Like all day. Hey folks, look, I made a living doing that. And look, the people that will reach down and pull you up, someone did it for them, and there is a weird unspoken truth about them feeling like they needed to do that for others.
And maybe you should look for a co-founder.
Yeah. Don't go at it alone.
Yep.
There's a lot, and that's what I'm enjoying about Startup Hustle TV. Cause you know, yesterday I didn't have a great day as an entrepreneur, and I talked all about that on camera, and I published a video titled F You Failure. Cause I had to say, fuck you failure. Cause you're going to fail a lot. And I had to tell failure, you're not going to win. F off, get out of here. But there's a lot of tenacity. If you are defeated easily, don't do it. Because you, Matt, do you ever feel, does a day as being an entrepreneur, do you ever get to the end of it or a cycle of it or any of it? And I could have easily convinced you that you did, in fact, get in the ring with Mike Tyson.
Dude, I would say every couple weeks I have one of those days, and every couple weeks I wake up and I'm like, why am I doing this shit?
Yep.
For sure.
And that's spoken from one of the most successful people I've ever known and know. And that's the way it goes. It doesn't change. You don't get away from that. I mean, all of the people we know that we admire, that we consider to be peers, that we look up to, meaning Matt and Matt look up to. Do you think Sandy Kemper would tell us the same thing?
It's not easy. No way.
It's just on a different level and scale for all of you. So if you think that part of it's going to go away, if you think you're going to get away from fighting and doing a whole lot of other stuff, once again, thanks for listening. If you have some time, go check out the Startup Hustle chat. Just go to Facebook, type in Startup Hustle in the search. We're in there doing a lot of cool stuff. I know that all the other people would love to hear what you have to say. Head over to YouTube, subscribe to Startup Hustle TV. If you're interested in being involved, being a guest on the podcast, you have a suggestion for a guest of the podcast, go to startuphustle.xyz. You got to fill out the form there or you're not going to be considered. We've had a whole lot of people do it. We'd love to see you there soon. Matt, I'm getting back to work. I'll see you next time, brother.
See ya.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.